Good afternoon, and thank you for coming. My name is Jerry Arnold. I am a statistician with the American Board of Internal Medicine. And today I'd like to talk briefly about physicians' participation in maintenance of certification and their risk for subsequent malpractice or medical board disciplinary action. First, I'd like to acknowledge my colleagues, Dr. Jin-Young Park. She's now with the American Association of Medical Colleges, and Rebecca Lipner. She is with the American Board of Internal Medicine. I was the consultant on this project early on, but I was the only one who came to the session. So if you have a question that I can't answer, then I will be sure to kind of direct that on to Rebecca and Jin-Young, and we'll get back to you if I don't answer your question satisfactory. All right. Whoops. Let's see here. Let's try that again. Oh, I guess the slide for the disclosure. Well, anyway, my disclosure is I had nothing to disclose other than I am an employee of the American Board of Internal Medicine. I'm being paid at this moment here. maintenance of certification. Certification has been the health profession's sort of public accountability efforts. And it's usually recognized as at least a quality indicator of healthcare. That is, that folks who are certified are generally considered. It may be more of a belief system, but they're at least generally considered to be more competent or providing higher quality care than folks who are not certified. The certification boards are typically independent of the educational institutions and also the membership, the professional membership organizations. So we have a certain amount of independence from those organizations. And, of course, we belong to a parent organization, the American Board of Medical Specialties, of which there are 24 boards. And certification has been changing from a single one-time passing your board exam to now a ongoing periodic review of medical competence. And we call this process maintenance of certification. And again, the whole idea is to try to be much more accountable to the public in terms of their professional development, their lifelong learning, and quality improvement. The ABIM, the board of which I belong, is the largest of the ABMS boards. We basically represent about one quarter of the practicing physicians in the United States. What we are studying today, then, are what we call the maintenance of certification completion rates. Now, in 1990, the ABIM changed their policy from a single passing of an exam to an ongoing periodic review, so that when a physician passed their certification boards, they would have to resit for those boards again within 10 years. And typically, they had to maintain. They couldn't have anything against their medical license. They had to also go through certain kind of continuing medical education, and plus do some demonstrations of some quality work. So, the recertification process, what we call the maintenance of certification now, is about 4 out of 5 physicians that go through our board, internist and subspecialist gastroenterologists, cardiologists, and so forth, then about 4 out of 5 of these physicians actually go back and complete the MOC process. MOC has been, as certification boards, what we're trying to do is demonstrate that certified physicians are actually of higher quality than those who are not certified. And so a lot of empirical studies go into work to basically show whether or not that's true. Now, typically, much of the work has gone into that physicians who are certified or maintain their certification provide some higher quality of care as indicated by various kind of clinical measures of quality. Unfortunately, we get mixed results. Sometimes they show that, sometimes they don't. All right. We are a little different in this particular study. What we're looking at is whether or not maintenance of certification reduces the risk for any kind of disciplinary action. So that's what we're basically studying. The study sample here were physicians, were internists and generalists and subspecialists who basically became initially certified between 1990 and 1999. So within that 10-year period following the policy change. Now, by last certification, what I mean is, suppose I was a cardiologist. I would have taken my internal medicine boards, would have passed that, gone on to receive further training, a fellowship training in cardiology, and then I would have this set for my cardiology boards. In all likelihood then, and that would have probably occurred about 3, 4, or 5 years following my internal medicine certification. So what we're counting as the last certification was whatever that last initial certification was. So the cardiologist, for example, will probably not retake their internal medicine exam. They'll probably retake their cardiology exam. Clear? Okay. All right, our data sources come from three sources. Obviously, the certification history comes from us, but we looked at some public access data sets that report on malpractice and legal actions taken against physicians or actions taken to them by their professional. By their professional organizations. The National Practitioner Database was established by Congress, and it is a state-level kind of database that basically counts how many malpractice claims were filed, what was the payments for those claims, and so forth. Now, unfortunately, this is basically a state-level type of database, so we had to combine our internists at the state level and kind of look at that kind of gross comparison with this data set. So specialty was not available, but as I mentioned, internists make up about one quarter of the practicing physicians, so we assumed that whatever maintenance of certification rate we were doing was probably, if there was a correlation, it would probably still show up with our data. And secondly, the Federation of State Medical Boards maintains a notification system of when there are some sort of actions taken against physicians. Now, this is at the physician level, so in the second data set, we can match physician to disciplinary actions. All right, so we devised two models. The first model was what we called the state-level model. That is, we had these global rates at which malpractice was occurring, the awards they were giving out, the number of claims, and so forth. And what we were then doing then were calculating moving averages of the MOC completion rate. Now, we're using a 5-year lag period. Now, why is it I'm doing that? Okay, why is it that we're doing it? Well, first of all, what we're trying to show is that I become certified or I maintain my certification, and later down the line, I do or do not get into trouble, okay? So we're trying to make sure that that comes first, all right? So we lagged on 5 years, and our basis for this was that physicians are like everybody else. They tend to procrastinate. After they pass their initial cert exams, they take about 8 years before they get around to start engaging in maintenance and certification, and it usually takes them about 2 or 3 years to finish the process. Well, at the same time, from these state-level databases, those claims that are paid out, that it's the date that those things were paid out. So the actual claim probably occurred maybe 3-5 years prior to the settlement. Okay? So we're trying to make sure that MOC occurs at least hopefully prior to these actions being taken. Okay? And so the dependent variables in this case are the number of malpractice claims and the median damage amounts awarded. The second model is much more precise. It is at the physician level. And this is from the state medical boards. Thank you. And this is basically a logistic regression kind of model. That is, they either maintain their certification or they didn't, and subsequently after their exposure period, excuse me, they either did or did not get their license suspended or revoked. Okay? Now, this is sort of the trends that have been occurring in these data over this 10-year period that we examined. Overall, the malpractice claims have actually been going down roughly about 30% over that 10-year period, the count. So they're dropping around 3% a year or something like that, whereas the payouts have been increasing, but only the payouts have been increasing about 1% or 2% per year. So these were our results from the state level model. That is, that for every percentage point increase in the maintenance of certification, we basically resulted in a 4% reduction in that risk for malpractice claims. We ended up with about a 2% increase in the median payments, but that particular factor was not significant. So it's inconclusive whether or not there was any association between MOC completion and payouts. With regards to the second model, we found that physicians that did complete MOC roughly were only about 89% as likely to get a suspension event than physicians who did not complete MOC. And revocation was roughly about 95%. So in other words, if I did complete MOC, if we consider the rate at which people who do not finish MOC was about 1, then it would have been about 0.95 for the physician, for the MOC physicians. Okay, so basically what we've shown here is that higher rates of completing MOC are associated with these lower frequencies of malpractice claims, but not the severity of the claims, and that physicians who complete MOC are less likely to either experience a suspension or revocation event. Now, there are several limitations to this study. Remember I said there was the lag period. One might ask, well, couldn't have been possible that those claims occurred before the person completed. You're completely right about that. We tried different lags. We tended to get about the same results, but there's no way for sure for us to know for that for sure. The other thing that's likely to happen, too, is that these are publicly available data sets, and they're likely to be out of date, and they're likely to be underestimating what the total rank is. So we could actually be overstating somewhat the effect of MOC, or at the same time, we may be understating it kind of situation. So there are limitations to this. But the crucial thing here was that we were trying to show that with increased focus on reducing medical errors and increasing patient safety, physicians participating in MOC seem to at least contribute a very small amount, it's not a big effect, but a very small amount to increasing that quality of care. As medical boards, in order for us to claim that maintenance certification is in fact useful for people to do, we have to do these empirical studies to show it. Thank you.